Acts chapter 19, the text that we see today, the stories that we're going to read, number one, are going to remind us how important it is to know Jesus for our salvation, but also how important it is to know Jesus for our growth in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. All right, so here we see at the beginning of this, Paul is in Ephesus and he encounters some disciples. And from last week, you remember that this comes right on the heels of Priscilla and Aquila meeting with Apollos, because Apollos, he knows the scriptures. He is out there every day proving through the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God's Messiah, that he is God's son. Apollos was only aware of John's baptism, so Priscilla and Aquila take him aside and say, "Hey, there is a baptism in Jesus Christ. People need to know about that." And so now here in Acts chapter 19, Paul, he comes across some disciples and he just flat out asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" These disciples only knew John's baptism. And John's baptism was one of repentance. John's baptism of repentance was preparing them for the coming of Jesus. And now here Paul says, when they tell him, "Hey, no, we were baptized into John's baptism," Paul explains it to him and says, "Look, John's baptism was a baptism, and a baptism of repentance is basically a washing that says, 'Look, I know I'm not right, and I am resolving to be right with God. I want to be right with God.'" And so Paul tells these disciples and say, "Well, that's not quite it. Something else has happened. John was preparing the world for Jesus, God's son. And since we've gone and we've seen from the beginning of the book of Acts, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a little bit more than just repentance. It's not just, hey, you know what, I think I want to turn my life around and I think I want to go a new direction. I admit I'm not perfect. I don't always get it right. And so I would like to be better. I would like to get more of it right." So that's kind of the idea of John's baptism, whereas Paul lets these disciples know that Jesus' baptism has more than that. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2 and let's be reminded of how it began. In Acts chapter 2, go down to verse 36. Acts 2:36 says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So the response to the gospel, that Jesus truly is God's only son. And he points out, Peter here points out to the Jewish people, hey, you killed God's son. That was him, the one hanging on the cross, the one that all of you looked at and said, this guy is a liar, he is a false teacher, he is from the devil. Peter points out to them, no, that was God's son. That was God reaching out to you, making a way back to him. You crucified him. And so they look at Peter and they say, well, okay, well, what do we do with this information? We believe, we're convinced, but now what? And so Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every single one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is how it all begins. And then Peter goes on to say, this promise is for you, it's for your kids, it's for everyone, anyone that is called to God, anyone that God reaches out into their heart and says, this is the truth of what I have done for you. And this is the response. And so this promise continues even today. And so it was fair. Back in chapter 19, when Paul runs into some disciples and he asks about their baptism. Hey, what about you? What were you baptized into? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Because the promise, God's promise, is that in our baptism we will be forgiven of all of our sins and we would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, we don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And Paul's like, well, you're disciples, you're following God. Tell me about your baptism. Oh, John's baptism. That was the baptism that we got baptized into. And so back in chapter 19, Paul looks at him and says, well, John's baptism was preparing you for Jesus. And now Jesus is here. Now Jesus has come. Jesus died for our sins and placed us under the new covenant of God. And so now the power of the name of Jesus brings forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they're baptized into the name of Jesus. They are baptized into the name and authority of Jesus Christ. Paul lays his hands on him. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They are prophesying. They are speaking in tongues. And we see here that this is the baptism that Peter has announced way back in chapter 2. Now, as we read this, as you and I read this, number one, first and foremost, every single one of us should examine ourselves and go, okay, if I'm baptized, was I baptized with a scriptural baptism? Because just like back in those days, there's John's baptism, there's Jesus' baptism, there's tons of baptisms. And even today there's probably more. There's probably more baptisms and people getting baptized at different times in their life and for different reasons and for different purposes. And there's different teachings and understandings about baptism. And it's okay to ask of ourselves, and it's definitely okay to ask of another disciple, okay, tell me about your baptism. What was it? And we have these two stories at the end of 18 and here at 19. When someone tells us about their baptism, it's okay to share the truth of what God is doing in such a meaningful, powerful act, but at the same time, such a divisive act, right? My baptism is very personal to me. Your baptism is very personal to you. And you have certain beliefs about that. And if someone comes along and says, yeah, but that's not right. That's not right. Well, I can get offended. Or I can look at what the scripture actually says to make sure that it's not me justifying myself or, you know, you trying to prove me wrong. It is that we look at the scriptures and what does God actually say? That's why we go back to chapter 2. That's why we go back to chapter 2. That is the promise that God gives us in baptism. Forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is teaching in the synagogue for a while. But people just keep on standing up against him. They keep on talking bad about him. So he's like, yeah, okay, we're done with this place. This place is no good. And so he actually goes to a school. This place of Tyrannus, I have a hard time saying it without thinking of the dinosaur, but that's just me. That's just me and my stuff. But Paul goes to a school and he is teaching there, and he sticks around for about 2 years. And so he is just teaching people. So the name of Jesus is spreading all throughout Asia. The good news, the gospel of Jesus is reaching so many different people. And so here we see the power and authority of the name of Jesus, of the baptism of Jesus, and the power that that brings to life. Forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen in anyone else's baptism. It happens in the baptism of Jesus Christ. Then we continue on in this story. Let's pick it up in verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of Jesus the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. All right, so we have here at the end of chapter 18 and the beginning of chapter 19 the power of the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. And then we go directly into this story because God is working a lot of miracles. In fact, God is working so many miracles through Paul that even things that had touched his skin, and you can imagine, I mean, Paul had another job. Remember what he did for a living? Yeah, he was a tent maker. That's why we had Priscilla and Aquila, because they were of the same career, so they were working together. And so it is thought that, you know, Paul's doing his day job, and he's out there working with his hands, and he is sewing together, I mean, imagine burlap or whatever it is that they use to make their tents. And he's got, you know, his headband tied up, holding his hair in place so he can work. And he's got another strap of leather just kind of holding the apron in place so he can do all these things. And so Paul's doing so many mighty works, it's even thought that, you know, he's taking a headband off. And someone goes, "Hey, Paul wore that." Yoink. And they take it and go, "We got somebody sick." And they just take that thing and they touch him with it. "Paul wore this." And people are being healed. And so God is doing this mighty powerful works and miracles through Paul, even through the things that Paul touched. And so God is just doing so many things here. And some of these Jewish magicians are seeing this. Some of these guys that are, you know, used to doing some tricks and they see this power and they go, "Okay, well, maybe there's something to that. Let's give it a try. And so they go and they encounter an evil spirit. And I hope you caught what they said. In verse 13, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Now, church, sometimes you and I kind of live like this, okay? And that is a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to know of Jesus, but not truly know Jesus. It is a dangerous place to be aware of Jesus, to be mindful of Jesus, but not truly know Jesus. Now, what happens to someone when they hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What happens to someone when they hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and go, yeah, okay, all right, that's great for you, but I don't believe it. That person in a safe place? They are not. They are not. What happens to a person when they hear about the story of Jesus and go, oh, okay, you know, that's a really powerful story, and the fact that Jesus died for our sins, but it's just really not for me because I don't really think that my sins are that bad. That person in a safe place? No, they are not. No, they are not. And what about the person that says, oh, well, you know, I mean, you do your baptism your way, and I did my baptism my way. And it's all fine. It's all the same. It all gets us to the same place. Safe perspective? Safe belief? It is not. That's why these details matter. It's why the name of Jesus matters. And so these guys come along. They don't know Jesus. They don't believe Jesus, but they go, whoa, there's a lot of power in this name of Jesus. So they claim to use the name of Jesus. They don't know him well, and so they say to the evil spirit, I adjure you by the Jesus that Paul knows. Secondhand knowledge. Secondhand knowledge is a very dangerous place to be. And the demon says there in verse, what is that, 15? Yeah, the evil spirit answered them, we know Jesus. We know Paul. But we don't know you. Huh. Jesus, we know. There's power there. Yeah, we know Paul. God's working through him. You're just going to throw his name around? That means nothing. That means absolutely nothing. So what does the evil spirit do to these sons of Sceva? What does the evil spirit do? Jumps on them, beats them up, rips their clothes, boots them out, and sends them embarrassed out in front of everybody. That is a real effect of being dangerously close, but not yet in Jesus. It's dangerous to, it's dangerous to have close proximity to something so powerful and not be protected by it. And so they thought, well, it's just the magic of the name of Jesus, that the name of Jesus was just some magic spell, just some words that we could say. We'll just use this name. We'll just use this name and we'll be able to share in some of this power that Paul's got going on, because that would be nice. That would really help our business, because we're telling everybody that we can do magic tricks and spells, and we can work blessings in people's lives. We can do all that, so let's give it a shot in Jesus' name. One little problem there. Something's missing. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, there was a healing in Acts chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 6. So you remember this guy in the beginning of Acts chapter 3, a man in verse 2, it says a man lame from birth was being carried Every day they took him to the temple gates, and he is begging for people from the temple. He sees Peter and John, and so he asks them for some money. And Peter says in verse 4, look at us. And he fixed his gaze on them. Okay. All right. He's looking at him. He's expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We don't have any money for you. You're expecting money. We don't have any money. But here's something better. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Now, this leads to some trouble, right? Because they get upset about it. And then down in verse 12, Peter addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, which when he decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Now, you might want to underline verse 16. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of all. His name, faith in his name. So we saw in chapter 2 that it is in the name of Jesus by which we are baptized to receive forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts chapter 3, Peter heals a man, but he says, look, don't look at us funny because we didn't do it. It is the name of Jesus. It is the risen Lord and Savior who has made this man walk again. It is his name. It's not us. It is his name. It is faith in his name. Now, you go back to chapter 19. Did the sons of Sceva have faith in the name of Jesus? They did not. They knew his name. They could say his name. They even tried to wave it over somebody. No more powerful than any kind of voodoo or anything like that. Ooh, in the name of Jesus. Doesn't work like that. It is his name, but it is faith in his name. That's how things get done. That's how things get done. So what we see in Acts chapter 19, church, and how this applies to me, is that I trust the name of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of my sins, for my eternal redemption, for my salvation. I trusted it then, and I trust it now. Because the name of Jesus Christ brought me into the grace and mercy of God, and it guides me as I live and walk and breathe each day, coming closer to my Father. It's not something I'm just going to throw about. It's not something that I'm just going to go, oh, well, you know, I guess I need some help today, so I'm going to call on the name of Jesus. Today's kind of a rough day, so Jesus, if you can do something about this. Because even then, the story just goes through my head, if I can. Church, we go through these and we are reminded about the power of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that power is not just evident on our day of salvation, when we were baptized to have our sins forgiven, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. The name of Jesus Christ is powerful today. The name of Jesus Christ is powerful today. It is the name above all names. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's the name above every name. In fact, Acts chapter 4, it's the only name given to us by which we must be saved. There's no other name. His is the name. And if we believe it for our salvation, we must believe it for each and every day. It is His name. It is by faith in His name. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2 real quick. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The name of Jesus is above every name. It carries power and it carries authority. So our Jewish exorcists, they use the name of Jesus, the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. And the evil spirit knows Jesus. The evil spirit knows Paul. The evil spirit doesn't know these guys who are just going to throw this name around. Church, we have got to know that the name of Jesus is not, it's not magic, it's not a tool. It is a connection that God allows us to have with Him. Faith in His name is necessary. Our faith connects us to life in Jesus. Now, the reaction. Did you see back in Acts chapter 19? After the evil spirit whoops up on these guys, what happens to everyone who sees and hears about this? What do they do? What's their reaction?
Fear.
Fear. Fear. Whoa. We see what the name of Jesus is doing, and we see what happens when you try to use that name, but you may not be well equipped to use that name. Everyone got scared. Everyone got scared of Jesus as Lord. They recognized the authority. And so the name of Jesus spreads everywhere, and then you get all of these guys who had been practicing these evil things, and what do they do with all of their, I mean, you can imagine their books and their charms, and I'm just putting a modern spin on it, but you can imagine spell books and crystal balls and tarot cards and crystals and charms and just all the things. What do they do with all those things? They burn them. They bring them. That is not it. That is obviously not it. This is obvious. The name of Jesus is obvious. And we can't just be playing around with those things. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 19. Verse 18. "Also many of those who are now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together. They burned them in the sight of all. They counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." So, the people that believed in Jesus, they looked at their own lives. They looked at the things that they had been relying upon. They looked at these things and went, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. I am now ruled by the name and authority of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. So anything I have that goes against that, that should probably be removed from my life. Great advice for all of us. Anything that you and I are messing around with that is not of Him should probably be removed from our lives. Probably a healthy practice. Do an occasional purge. Hey, this is not of God. This is something I've let in, but it's not a good thing. So I might want to rethink this. I might want to look twice at this. I know I'm jumping a little bit, but I'm going back to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to hear this. You'll remember it. Philippians chapter 3, Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Church, we're not done. We're not done. By any means necessary, we may attain the resurrection from the dead. We have a goal. We have a purpose. We have something we are looking forward to, but we are not there yet. By any means necessary, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to get. So I will not give up. I will not quit. I will not serve anyone else. I will not choose any other option. I will believe and I will trust in the name of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, my and your Lord and Savior. The name that is above all names. The name that has authority over everyone here and everyone there and everyone there. He's it. He's the name above everything and everyone else. We can't give up. We can't stop. We can't quit. And we can't ever doubt. Because it is His name. It is faith in His name that is still working and affecting our lives and the lives of those around us. God is not ineffective. God is not ineffective. He's not ineffective in your life, is he? No, you've come to salvation. You put your faith in the name of Jesus Christ. You were baptized into his death. You were born again, receiving his gift of forgiveness and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promises for you, that promises for me, that promises for our kids, that promises for everyone that God calls to himself. So we believe in his promises, we believe in his word, and we trust his name that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. Becoming like him in his death, becoming obedient to the Father so that by whatever means possible, we will attain the resurrection from the dead. Turn over a couple of pages. I want to close out this morning with the scripture that Matt read for us. Colossians chapter 3, in this section, the Apostle Paul is comparing our old life to our new life. And so he says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put it to death. Put it away. That's no longer who you are. We saw that in Acts chapter 19. They witnessed the power of the name of Jesus. They witnessed the power that Jesus has over even evil spirits, and they saw how ineffective that anybody else was over this evil. And so they put away their evil. They brought it all together and say, that's not worth anything. So we're going to get rid of it. And so here the Apostle Paul writes to Christians, put to death therefore what is earthly in you. In verse 7, this used to be your life. You were walking in them, you were living in them, but you must put them away. You must put them away. And now, church, it's easy for us to look at that and go, well, I don't practice black magic, so I guess there's really nothing for me to put away. If we took a close look, I'm sure there's something. I'm sure there's several somethings. Hey, but guess what? Even if you don't own the something, what does he say to put away in the very next line? What's the next word? Anger? Isn't that it? Yep. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. You have put off the old self with its practices. That means in here too. You are a new creation. So all the old, it has got to go. It has no place in our new lives. So it's not just, yeah, I may let that dark, evil thing in. Maybe I shouldn't be messing with that. Or, maybe I've just got that dark, evil thought that I'm still having, or that dark, evil feeling that I'm still harboring. Let it go. That's your old self. We have put away evil and earthly things. Now, he says to put on these good things. And then I want to pick it up in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, you do it in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do, everything that we say is done in the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's how God has revealed His power. That's the name above every other name, so there's no use in resorting to any other name. Okay? Everything. Everything. It's the name that saved us from our sins. It's the name that fills us with His Spirit and with His power. It is the name that enables and guides us to live faithful lives. It is the name that drives us and makes it possible and gives us the strength for you and I to lay down our own lives for the sake of others. It's the name that enables us to think outside of ourselves and be self-sacrificing, to be like Jesus, to trust God so much that we're not going to do harm to others to protect ourselves. We're actually going to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others. And we can do this with the same faith that Jesus Christ has in knowing who the Father is, what the Father has said, what the Father has done, and what the Father promises for our future. All that's possible. More than we can even think or imagine. It's what the Bible tells us. Most of us are very limited by our small imaginations of what is possible for God. But by the name of Jesus, by faith in the name of Jesus, that's what makes things possible. That's what makes things amazing. That's what makes things miraculous. Because God accomplishes so much more than what you and I can accomplish. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do it in the name of Jesus. Our salvation is in the name of Jesus. Our baptism is in the name of Jesus. Our lives are in the name of Jesus. And there is not another name worth being given over to. So, make sure that you're living in the name of Jesus. And if you're going to wield the name of Jesus, if you're going to pray in the name of Jesus, if you're going to trust in the name of Jesus, you better know Jesus. Because if you just kind of do it, we've seen from today's story, it's a good way to get hurt. And you may not have any evil spirits come and knock you out. But you know what happens when we just kind of know the name of Jesus and go, yeah, I don't really know, but I guess I'll pray this in the name of Jesus. I guess I'll ask this in the name of Jesus. You may not get beat up, but you might get embarrassed. You might have your faith wounded. I mean, you ever known anybody that turned away from Christianity because God didn't do what they thought God should do? Sounds like getting beaten up by an evil spirit to me. They quit. They gave up. They ran away scared. Be careful. Be careful. Because the name that we have been given is above all other names. Number one, we've got to be careful with it. Number two, we better trust it. We better trust it. And how does that work? It works by you and I knowing more fully His name. So, that's an assignment worth working on this week. This morning, if you are not baptized into the name of Jesus, we invite you to come and do so. And if you are, if you have already begun and your life is in Jesus, if you have begun in Jesus, church, we've got to put everything in Jesus. We've got to trust Him with everything. Not just our salvation on that day, but every day until that day when we see Him face to face. To live the faith that we proclaim. So if you need to respond today, we're here to help.